Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
For many people, their first contact with bats is finding their mouse-like droppings in the attic, or less often, finding a lost bat circling the living room or clinging to the curtains. Well, this is the time of year when you might experience such a situation, as pregnant female bats gather to have their babies in maternity roosts. Well, Donna Mullen is an ecologist and author of Make Your Home a Nature Reserve, and she joins me on the line. Hello, Donna.
Hi, Claire.
You're on the phone because you're up all night watching the mammy bats. Is that right?
Absolutely. And I would advise anyone to do it. It's absolutely amazing. If you think you know of a bat roost, get up an hour before dawn and sit outside. You have the world to yourself. And, you know, when so much is going wrong in the world, if you go out, you have nature to yourself. And the bats, before they go into the roost, they do the spectacular swarming, circling around and around before they go in. It's nobody really knows why they do it. It's some kind of a social thing, but it's all the mothers all in a big group, you know, going circling. It is absolutely spectacular. It really is. It gives you an adrenaline rush. You never feel tired.
But what's happening inside the roost then?
Well, they're at the moment, the mothers are very pregnant and some of them are having their babies. So a baby bat now is about a third the weight of the mother. So, you know, I'm 10 stone, so it's like me having a 3 stone baby.
Right, they're big babies.
They're big babies. So the girls need all the help they can get. And it's really wonderful for anyone to kind of, you know, put up with having bats in their attic. Though, to be honest, most people don't notice because, you know, you have no problems with bats in your attic. They don't bring in bedding and they don't chew wiring. And it's really only you'll notice them if you have a big number of bats.
Mm-hmm. So they're coming together in a roost that the mothers gathering together to have their babies and get them to a point where they're sturdy. Is that what's going on in there?
Exactly. So they need a really hot place to have their babies. So they need about 30 degrees, which you just think that couldn't happen in Ireland. But often you put your head up into a trapdoor in an attic and suddenly you feel the heat coming at you. And it's amazing. Mm-hmm. So it's very, very hot. The babies are very, very defenseless. And the mothers only have one baby every year or every 2 years. So it's not like, you know, whatever, if you have one mouse this year, you'll have a million of them next year. It's, you know, pretty much the numbers in your roof stay the same. And in fact, in general, the numbers decline because, you know, bats are, declining in numbers. And certainly my own roost, in our own attic, the numbers have declined.
So one baby every year or every 2 years. So this is a rare enough event for the bats, isn't it?
It is, yeah. It's a bit like people. They have very few babies and they really look after them. So they'll be keeping them warm and going out to feed, and they feed them then on milk when they come back. And then about the first week or two in August, the babies begin to fly. And that's when all those accidents happen. That's when the babies, they have to use their ultrasound, they've got to fly, and they've got to catch food all in the one night. And you'll see them wobbling about. You'll see two bats, a mother, and then a very wobbly bat after it. And then that's when, you know, they, by accident, instead of flying into the attic or into the fascia board, they fly into your house or they'll crash on the ground or a cat will get them.
See, when they fly into the house, that can terrify people. You know that, Donna, don't you? I know you don't understand it, but you know that people get scared.
Absolutely. And it's the unexpectedness of something happening, you know, at night in the dark. But like, they're tiny little things and they only have, their teeth are only for eating insects. So, you know, they can't give you a bite, though they may shout and try to bite you. But they're actually like, they're really just lost, tiny, defenseless little creatures.
They shout, do they?
They do. They make this ultrasound squeak. Now, actually, it's kind of a magical thing because children can hear them, but adults can't.
Right.
Because as we get older, we lose our ultrasonic hearing. Mm-hmm. Occasionally I meet an adult who can hear the bats, but very rarely. But children have fantastic high-pitched hearing. And they could always tell me our bats were back before I knew. They could hear them.
And dogs, I'm sure, can hear them.
Absolutely. And it really drove me crazy. I had to use a bat detector to identify them. Not only could my kids hear the bats, but they could identify the species. Mm. They could say it's a soprano pipistrelle. It's a really high squeak.
How many bats are in your maternity roost?
Oh, we don't have many. The best we ever got was 80, and that was a long time ago.
80
common pipistrelles, and now we've only 5 or 6.
Right, right. So, and bat numbers are reducing in general, are they?
Oh, they are, absolutely. Yes, yeah, the numbers are going down. And there's been an amazing study actually recently on pups in bat pups in Costa Rica. Where they have shown that the mothers teach the babies how to sing. And it's like each place has their own like national anthem, each little bat roost. So the fathers sing this national anthem to keep out all their ones, and the mothers teach their babies the song.
Right. And so the song lives on.
The song lives on, and also it's like the fathers sing the national anthem, but the mothers teach them shanos, because they teach them all these twiddly bits, extra bits, and they even teach the girls, so the girls never sing it.
I love
when
it.
They grow up.
Can we go back a little bit? How long is the gestation period?
It's most for bats, it's about 40 to 50 days. Now, the thing about our bats, they mate in the autumn time, and they because they hibernate, it's very hard to keep a fetus alive when you drop down your body temperature. So they store the sperm. So they have like their own little IVF program going.
Where do they store the sperm?
Oh yeah, they store within their bodies, and they kind of like feed it over the winter, and then they
sorry to cut across you. This is bat IVF, is it?
It is, absolutely, absolutely. And when the weather picks up and spring comes and the temperature, when it's kind of suitable for her to have the child, she'll decide, now's my time.
Isn't that amazing?
And the egg implants. It's amazing. And then, so although they've mated in the autumn time, they're only having the babies now.
So she knows autumn is not a good time for this pregnancy to start. So I'll hold off. And then when the weather gets better, I'll have this baby.
The weather gets exactly. Now is the perfect time for it. Yeah. And Bat Conservation Ireland have a whole load of resources now, videos and leaflets on how to do gardening for bats. Mm-hmm. So how to make your garden bat friendly by putting in hedges and trees and ponds and different plants that they like. And also by keeping down light pollution, switching off your outdoor lights.
It's incredible. And the shanos and the anthem that they're teaching them. You know what? We have a little clip of a bat call. Let's have a listen to it, Donna. So what did we just hear there, Donna?
Isn't it fantastic? That's the mother teaching the baby how to sing. So the babies do this babbling, like human babies. So that's why the researchers thought this is fascinating to study. So the babies do this babbling, but the mothers give them feedback. And there's like, tiger parenting. You know, there's some of these mothers that are really pushy. You know, you must do more practice. You must do more practice. But actually, those bats end up with a better song.
Right.
They lay back mothers and say, yeah, she skip your homework tonight. What does it matter?
They lose the soft T at the end, do they? And it's all perfectly formed.
They do. It's actually how much they practice. It kind of influence kind of the amount of syllables they can produce. So in a way, they can speak more languages and they have a better repertoire, and it affects their tone as well.
Donna, you truly love bats, and it's lovely to talk to you as always. Donna Mullen there. And if you need advice on a bat roost, if the bats are causing problems in your home, or if you plan to do work that might impact a roost, you can contact the National Parks and Wildlife for advice. And the number is 018-888-2000. That's 018-888-2000. We'll take a break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.